Hello and welcome everyone to Bulbcast episode number 5. Got a pretty good show for you today. Want to introduce the people that we have this week. The three participants, including myself, TSS Color, this week are the owner of Bulba Garden, Archaic.
Hello again, everyone.
And Amon of the BMG Forms. Hi.
Hi.
And the man who owns Dogas's Backpack, and probably, in my opinion, the best person to compare episodes, the one and only Dogasu.
Hello.
And we have a pretty, like I said, we have a pretty good show for you today. We're going to review AGs 160 down to 164, and
got a lot of ground to cover.
We got a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to have you all of your call-ins today. So, but before we start, I would like to key off of what happened within the last couple of weeks. And that, of course, is four kids in the Pokemon in the United States skipping three crucial Pokemon Advance battle episodes. And that would, and those would be 24 to 26, if I recall correctly. 23 to 25.
Date Expectations, Ming with Envy, and Pacific Logjam.
Yes, those three.
Yes.
And we have a lot of speculation on what and why, but before you start accusing them, they did not ban them. They just skipped those episodes.
Well, didn't officially ban them, of course.
But I imagine they are not going to, just because those are crucial. Two of those are crucial, as a matter of fact.
An important thing to remember is that this was all Kids WB. This wasn't four kids. They actually dubbed the episode. They had no problem with it.
And they also aired in the United Kingdom.
Yes, and it's been aired in the United Kingdom. It may air in Canada within the next week or two. You know, that's
It'll be interesting to see if it airs on Cartoon Network in Australia.
It probably will, because I don't think they have any issues.
Does Cartoon Network in America screen it as well?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
The
used to.
Not anymore.
They, the last season, the last time they aired it, they aired Master Quest. And that's as far as they've gotten.
Okay. I'm not actually sure how far they go now in Australia. If they even still do it, since I don't actually have cable TV anymore. But
well, now that Kids WB doesn't have a weekday block, you know, people think it's any day now they'll just pick up all the advanced episodes. But you know, this theories, you know, the biggest theory is that, well, the episodes feature Jinx. It was
not
seen as not all of them, the second two, and it's considered that it's thought that the first one kind of is closely connected, and that's why it went along with it. Maybe not so much, but the main theory is basically it's because of Jinx. She is a controversial character because it's believed that at least the older version was a resembled a racist stereotype of African Americans, and they thought, oh well, Kids WB, they're just being spineless.
However, though, in 2002, the artist changed Jinx's color to purple, and we've all been considering that if it's a different color, they won't have any reason to ban it, but apparently we thought wrong.
Yeah.
In AG-13, however, it was still black, and that whole 9-second sequence was cut out.
Yep.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, the people in Japan, they're noticing it, and they're taking, you know, Miss Weatherford, she is the woman who wrote the initial article that started the whole thing. Obviously, they took her comments very seriously and changed the color. And, you know, the games did it, you know, pretty quickly. That anime was actually probably one of the last parts of the franchise to actually adapt to the new change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, simply because they didn't have any episodes that actually focus around that.
Right. But, I mean, you know, even, I mean, AG-13, that was as early as, I mean, that was 2003 or something?
2002.
2002? Okay.
I believe. It was late 2002 to early 2003. I'm pretty sure it's early 2003.
Okay.
When it first aired.
You know, I mean, maybe not so long ago, but,
That's still quite a bit of long ago. Hey, here we are in 2006. That's still about 3 years.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, that's the main reason people come up with. No one can really think of any other reason why the episodes would have been skipped. I mean, Did any of you think of anything else?
Someone mentioned that there might be something like with how they skipped the Volbeat and Illumise episode to get to the Misty ones faster. Maybe they're skipping these to get to the Munchlax faster, because we all really want to see Munchlax, really.
But that is really a big plot, a really big hole in the plot.
Yeah. Well, it's just another theory. I can't say I support it.
Well, February is a major sweeps month.
That
for
is true.
All networks TV. Sweeps months are February, May, July, and November. And during these months, the ratings are really, really important. Not just for Kids WB, but for all
Nielsen
the networks.
Ratings.
Yeah.
Yes. And
which
so
kind of begs the question, why didn't they cut out fillers if they wanted to just...
Yeah, that's true.
Unless they want to do these episodes during sweeps.
There's also the fact that they... I don't remember where I heard this. It might have been in the IRC chat, but they might have wanted to just delay those episodes a bit, because if it's aired in February, February is Black History Month. So even if the skin's recolored, it might seem like it's in bad taste. So, I don't know.
That's just being super cautious.
Saying that I hadn't considered.
That's just being super cautious, though. I mean, it makes sense. It makes some amount of sense. But, you know, it's also Sweeps Month and, you know, the Grand Festival. If they had shown these three episodes the way they were supposed to, we wouldn't have seen any of the Grand Festival this month. And so I think Kids WB is thinking, oh, you know, the Grand Festival, that's the end of May's, you know, Hoenn thing. That's like the conclusion of everything she does. That will bring in bigger ratings than a filler about Don Phan and then two contest episodes.
Yes, that's very true.
So, I mean, you know, it's about the ratings. It's about, you know, Black History Month. I mean, I think it's maybe a combination of things, but I mean, I do believe the episodes will air.
Yeah, hopefully.
I had a shadow of a doubt, because they'll probably reschedule them in March during some filler string where...
Yeah, it's not the sort of episode that seems like it should become a lost episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when Ash caught all those Tauros, that was pushing it. Having made...
But that had an whole different other perspective of being banned. I mean, you have gun usage, and then you had the whole. It was the series was in syndication.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This isn't the sort of episode that I can see becoming a lost episode, even if it does have Jinx, because they cleaned it up. It's too important, and quite frankly, it's just not going to work if they leave it out.
The question I think is.
What do they think the fans think about this? And you've got to remember, they consider the fans as being kids. They do not consider there actually even being a teenage or adult Pokemon market,
We exist,
but the thing is that the ratings that, you know, want the 6 to 11s, and that's the only demographic they're really all that concerned about. You know, anyone who's over 11, they're happy that we watch, but I mean, they really, at the end of the day, we don't really affect much of anything as far as having our ratings.
I think that's even insulting the intelligence of the little kids to assume that they're not going to notice that. Hey, May got
the education
a ribbon.
System insults the intelligence of little kids.
Yes, I know it does.
Company's going to have a problem with doing that.
Well, it's probably thought that Munchlax will distract them because, you know, hey, it's a new Pokemon that you can't catch. And
I got into the fandom when I was 8, and I noticed the smallest details in the show. I was confused when they were going to the Safari Zone, and then they didn't actually. The only thing that was the Kangaskhan thing. I noticed little things. I don't know about anyone else. And I think that a little kid is going to notice if May just has a ribbon out of nowhere.
Well, the thing is that...
Do the marketing guys realize that?
Yeah, that's they probably don't, and that's very unfortunate.
I mean, you know, they need these... They want the February sweeps ratings. They want to win sweeps.
Yeah.
So, you know, airing the Grand Festival is something, you know, three episodes have to go.
Exactly.
And those were just the three that were chosen to go. And, I mean, Kids WB, they paid for the episode.
I just don't see why they couldn't have cut out three filler episodes earlier on in the series. They could have just been reinserted later.
They probably weren't thinking that far ahead, you know, which, you know, that, I mean, that is entirely their fault, but, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, when you're making up...
But they would have only had to do it, what, a month ahead?
Mm. I mean, when you're doing the programming schedule and, you know, you can't sit there back and say, oh, well, we should have not aired this filler episode, and, you know, a month ago. Well, it's too late, because that was a month ago.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, they can't fix it. They don't plan ahead far enough.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they also, you know, when did Kids WB get the tapes with the episodes on it? You know, we don't know.
They would have got it pretty much as soon as it had been dubbed. They would have them at least 2 months in advance of screening, if not three.
So they probably got them back in December or... Yeah.
No, probably October or November.
Probably yeah, the question would be, when did they watch them?
Yeah, that's very true. Mm.
Mm. I mean,
maybe the execs figured that, well, they didn't want to watch it because it could have been a bad stereotype again, even though they had changed the color.
I mean, it's just, you know, you have to think of it from the network's point of view. They don't want to, you know, risk offending people during this important, you know, ratings month. Mm. They don't want to risk offending people during Black History Month. You know, it's too many risks involved. I mean, they could just as easily air it in March, and I mean, at first people will, you know, notice, but I mean, after about a month or so, it'll all blow over, and then people just, I mean, they'll still be watching the network.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has declared, oh, I'm done with Kids WB because of the stunt they pulled. People
still watch
it.
There's a lot of stunts that they pull, and they get away with it, so why not this time?
And like others have said, you know, this isn't anything new. They have aired episodes out of order before. I mean, a lot of those were filler episodes, but...
Jodo, yeah.
I mean, they've premiered episodes out of order before. It's nothing new at all. They just haven't been doing it for the past, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Okay, I think we've established a pretty good argument there.
Mm.
And now let's... Now, before we move on to the episodes, I'd like to key off on what news that I received, well, we received early this morning about Polka Park actually opening parks all around the world, and apparently the first one is going to be open in Taiwan, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, in Taipei, yeah. Taipei, Taiwan. That'll be in June. No other locations have yet been announced. At the moment, I'm thinking it might only be in Asia. From what I've seen of the article and translated, it didn't actually seem to specify all around the world. Basically, they just wanted to see if the Japanese style of amusement park would work in other locations, from the looks of things. I don't think you'll see it in America, simply because that type of amusement park does not really translate to the American idea of amusement park.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could open in California, because California, you know, have a larger demographic there than other states.
Well, perhaps, but I mean, do you know how big Poké Park was?
I imagine it was pretty large, but I can imagine that...
No, we're talking certainly, probably less actual space than the surface of a football arena.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Much lesser. These are prefabricated attractions that were usually carted around and placed in shopping centers and so forth for little special Pokemon events, and basically they just gathered all of them from all around Japan, whacked them together with a couple of rides that were also prefabricated, so like you had a small prefabricated roller coaster, I think, and a fairly small Ferris wheel, and I mean, I don't think they even had a stage there. When Puffy AmiYumi went and sung there, they basically just sung outside of the administration building, and
yeah, there's a video of it available on pocketmonsters.net, and it does look like they're definitely not on a stage or anything in it.
Yeah, because you can see the cars in the background, because you can see the kind of people looking over the fence there. You have a better shot of getting the IRC channel one.
It was not a huge thing, to be honest. But in Japan, where space is at a premium,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing is very popular.
Mm.
I think they could perhaps do Pocket Park in America as like a traveling sideshow sort of thing that goes around to the country areas that the big Pokemon tours usually ignore.
Yeah, cool. Well, they could also just do it. Just something like that would probably work, even if they didn't go to the country areas. I mean, Rhode Island is a very small state, and everything is rather dense around here. And I believe every year we get a not far from here we get this this basically one of those, like you said, a traveling sideshow amusement park sort of thing. They set up, they have small roller coasters, a Ferris wheel, all that sort of stuff, and people go there for a while, and then it goes. In fact, that's sort of, I was thinking a little bigger than that was probably my idea of what Poke Park was like.
Yeah, well, that is pretty much how it's like.
Yeah.
The only problem is, the article seemed to imply that they actually wanted to set these up as permanent. And
that would be nice. That would be nice.
In Japan, with a huge population density, it was able to last for a fairly long period of time. But the place was really only a place you could go to once before you've done everything.
They would probably have to make it bigger, bigger scale, if they wanted to make it something that people are going to go back to, something more, not like Disney World, but maybe something more like, say, Six Flags.
To make it like a traditional amusement park, just with Pokemon pasted onto everything, pretty much.
Or just try to take over a county fairground.
One other thing with Poke Park that was a bit different to how most theme parks are run is that you paid for each attraction separately. There was no cost of entry.
Well, that works for most county fairs. I mean, you have some... I mean, the admission is free, but the rides cost money.
Yeah, but a county fair is a bit different to an amusement park. A county fair is we have this for how many days... How often a year?
Well, sometimes it is once a year, and it's only for like a week or two.
Yeah, exactly. They're not like permanently set up, are they?
Permanently set up. Usually, you have a ticket price to get in, pretty decent, and then you can just ride things until the park closes or until your legs have turned into jello from standing for the lines for so long, or something. So, yeah, it'll probably have to be very different from the Poke Park in Japan if they're going to set it up permanently. And I kind of have confidence, though, that they'll be able to come up with some more Pokemon-themed rides for these Poke Parks.
It wouldn't be hard.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they do it. If it does work in Taipei, and if that, like, shores up the Pokemon fandom in Asia and so forth, I would not be surprised at them opening up similar parks. Well, maybe eventually all around the world.
Please in USA, please.
It didn't mention how often they're opening these, but it did mention they'll be opening like at least one new one a year until 2010. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be quite a few of these things. Which is another reason why I don't think they'll be very huge.
Yeah.
But there will be a decent number of them.
Okay.
Of course, the question is, are they going to close after 6 months and move on, or will they stay in that location and open in a new location? Don't know yet.
Yeah. Really, I kind of hope. Toss. Let's get PPN in, shall we?
Yep.
Okay. And let me introduce him as well as... Get him in here. Okay. And
Hey.
Hello. I need to remember what episodes they were.
It's been a while since I've seen them.
And now we're going to move on to AG-160, which is going to be a debut battle episode.
We have a lot to talk about.
Indeed we do. So what are your thoughts about it?
You know, this is Harley's big episode because he finally... Because, you know, up until this point, he's just been kind of, you know, the punching bag, and, you know, I mean, yeah, he was his Haruka's rival, but, I mean, he never won. He never really seemed to be a threat, and you know, in this one, he started off the episode with three ribbons. Haruka only had two. At the end, he had four, and so he's already, like, two ribbons ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, I think that's very important that, you know, finally one of her rivals gets to do something. You know, it took him, you know, this is, what, his fourth appearance? Something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it took him long enough to win. And, you know, I was watching the episode, and Gonbei was actually... I actually found it to be a little bit cute, actually, which I'd never thought before, for some reason.
No, I think it's because of the posing.
I mean, I actually didn't like the posing. I thought it was a little bit...
Yeah, the posing I didn't like, but the rest of it, it made me like Gonbei more than usual. And Gonbei is probably the baby Pokemon I like least right now. So that's saying a lot.
And here's another perspective on the whole thing. Harley's Ingrish.
Love it.
I'm very happy.
I actually wrote a list of I actually kept track of them throughout the episode. Harley Vinny surprise.
Don't make bad stage or don't make bad pace.
Harley very question. You know, Harley very thank you. Harley,
and
happy.
There's another one where he says Harley totemo angry, and it sounds like the other swear.
Yeah, that's the one I kind of want to key on. Yeah. I know that American ears are going to hear it as the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, which is probably kind of designed that way, but, you know.
Yeah, but once again, you have to consider that he speaks very fast, and the last syllable kind of gets cut off.
Yes, it does.
And that's why it sounds like that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to about 13 minutes into the episode. I have a clip of him saying that. I'll post it on BMG later. Have it uploaded already where the... It gives about 6 seconds of the scene leading up to that, and you'll see what I mean.
Actually, if you
also, I need to introduce you into the Bulbacast, because
he needs no introduction.
Yeah,
we know who I am.
Yes, everybody knows who you are.
I know who I am.
Everybody knows.
And that's all that matters.
Yes.
Pi knows me.
Everybody
Pi.
Does.
Hi, Pi.
I know you.
So anyway, back to the whole thing. I think also the animations were kind of weird. If you looked at some of the emotions,
just a little.
They could tell they were a little bit overdoing it. I think it maybe was.
It's a contest episode. They're supposed to.
I gotta say though, I this has to be one of the happiest moments of Brock's life when he had all the fangirls around him cooing about how cute Bonsai is.
Yeah, he was.
He was about to die. He just.
And it was funny because he was like, you know, saying thank you, Usahachi, for, you know, bringing all these women to me, and, you know.
And then Harley shows up and they all run away in fear.
Harley scared him away.
So is it me, or does he get more and more flaming with each appearance?
I think so.
I think it's a whole ironic twist here.
Yeah, it seems like he's like so much more now. It's like each time he just takes a little bit more. I mean, I love it, but you know, I just think it's, you know, I wonder how much farther they're going to take it.
Soon he's going to knock James off of his out of the title for most flaming character in Pokemon, and with the flaming Moltres scene, that's hard to do. Hey, we might see a Harley equivalent of the flaming Moltres scene at this rate.
He'll be a flaming Gardevoir or something, I don't know.
Oh god, I can see him dressing up as a Gardevoir too.
Do we actually know if Harley leans that way or not?
No, we don't.
No, there's no confirmation, just it's as ambiguous as James, because as it's hopefully well known, flamboyant does not mean homosexual in all situations.
It's very cliche.
We're just assuming based on stereotypes.
Yeah.
It is very stereotypical. Look at the way he walks.
He acts exactly like Kaba-chan did.
Oh my god.
Sunday.
He even said B-Bye at one point, which is what
Why did you bring that up?
It's what Becky,
because I'm a
like
cruel,
the...
evil bastard.
But
yes,
I think
John in the car.
I think if there's anything that indicates his that he might swing that way. I think it might be how when he tries to butter up to May, he's like, he acts more like a girlfriend than, oh, hey, I'm a guy. And I think there are some scenes that could kind of be considered him hitting on Drew, but I'm really not sure. I'm not one to judge. I'm just not. But we have no confirmation either way, and we could draw.
Just to sum it up.
If he's intentionally being portrayed like that in the dub, because, I mean, they still portrayed James as straight, even if he is a bit effeminate. But
the dub really doesn't change anything, really. I mean, they actually, with Harley, they're actually, you know, it looks like they're trying to keep the spirit of Harley intact. I mean, he doesn't do the random English, of course. But, I mean, you know, pretty much
everything. Thing you know, he'll start doing fangirl Japanese stuff. That would be funny.
There's not enough people who'd recognize it, I think, amongst what they consider to be the average Pokemon fan.
No, I just want to hear him say one kawaii. That's it. The dub Harley. One kawaii. I'll be set. Anyway.
Well, anyway, to sum this up, Harley wins it.
May cries. Gets a letter that we think is from Drew, and then later, gasp, we learn otherwise.
Now
don't set us contest shippers up like that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But there was plenty of contest shippiness in that episode, so but we'll get to that. What's the next episode?
161, Tropius versus Stupto.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of boring.
Good character building for Jupius.
Yes.
Now Jacane. But otherwise, fairly dull. They did seem to kind of...
they seem to be
the
very...
whole thing, him not being able to do attacks, drag out for longer than it needed to be over the next couple of eps.
I think it's kind of interesting how nowadays we see a lot more of the Pokemon falling in love with other Pokemon. I mean, back before this, we only saw it, like, say, in the Bye Bye Butterfree episode, and maybe a few others, but now it seems...
Breeding has become a much bigger part of the game.
Yeah, and it seems like every...
on the competitive level.
It seems like every time that there's a plot point, something happens.
One thing
The Orange Islands was shipping for humans. Maybe this is just shipping for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's weird to me is that no one seems to have a problem with the whole, like, interspecies dating thing. I mean, you know, we have, like...
it's when humans and Pokemon start hooking up that they cross a line, which is why people always...
There's a Kanto episode with Psyduck and... What did Psyduck... The movie one, back in Kanto. They filmed the movie.
Psyduck and Wigglytuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like... And it was so weird watching that, but I thought... They're not even the same species. Not even, like, close to the same species, you know?
And then you have Mile and Lombre and...
And, you know... And then they show...
Marsh Stomp and...
And, like, the censors have no problem with that, you know? But then they'll, like, you know, paint over cleavage or something. So, I mean, it's just...
Well, of course.
Animals can do whatever they want. Just as long as the humans don't start participating in bestiality. And that's why they get...
Soon,
they probably give
that's
them...
That's why Ditto does not show up more often.
And that's also why, I bet they give some shifty looks towards Brock, since he seems to have more Pokemon fall for him than humans, which is really kind of pathetic. Let's see.
Kinda.
There was a Ghastly, there was a Ninetales, there was a Jinx, there was... I could go on. Anyway,
getting away from this horrible topic that I brought up, probably the only thing I liked about the episode, both involved Team Rocket. The first one was the boss fantasy, just because we haven't seen one in so long. At least in my knowledge.
That's true, we haven't seen one in a while.
I mean, since Battle Frontier started, it's like very rare that you see a boss fantasy, and I love those back in Hoenn. You know, I thought they were terrific.
And also their role in the show has become kind of a down cycle, because they haven't really been participating in anything in the past five or six episodes.
Yeah.
Up to this
day. Well, there was James.
This episode, they did nothing in the latest episode. They walked around, fell in a few traps that they made themselves, or that were just in the jungle for no explained reason, then got shot off by a stray Psybeam without anyone realizing they were there.
Mm-hmm.
But there actually have been a few times where they have been more in the plot than normal, though. Like, with James winning that whole orienteering episode, and the episode with the contest, and...
And next week.
Jesse with Manana, and a side of Jesse that we don't see very often, her softer side.
Next week with Manana as well.
Yes. That one looks like it's going to be a total heartstring puller, and it looks like it's going to have more, even more Brock than anyone suspected, so I'm looking forward
Brock
to it.
Brock announced the episode.
Yeah, he announced the episode, and we actually see him starting to cry in the preview and wiping away a tear. So.
And then they do all this romantic music and blah, blah, blah.
Actually, that was
just
so
long as we don't get Brock and Jesse.
What?
Just so long as we don't get Brock. Oh, wait.
Yeah,
no.
That would be scary.
Oh, wait, no. James is the owner of...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's not going to be human... There's not going to be shipping among the humans. I severely doubt that.
Brocket shipping.
No! Don't! Don't! That kills my innocence. Stop it! Please!
Brocket shipping was amazingly popular back in the old days, so I'm surprised... And tried to leap on this now.
Oh, man.
Oh, please don't.
I think we start a new one.
Stop.
Moving on.
167.
Gone above M rating yet.
Bulba Garden Nights.
Bulba Journals.
All right. Next up, well, 161, really.
Battle?
Yeah, well, no. 161, good summarization is. Chuptel evolves. Heartbroken. Can't use attacks for a couple episodes. That's it.
Long neck dinosaurs forever.
Indeed.
Anyway.
162. Contest.
The interesting contest with quite a bit of contest shipping with May blushing twice in response to something Drew said.
That the blushes actually seemed a bit weird. I mean, I've talked about this with the contest shippers and the advanced shippers all trying to say, oh no, it's not a hint. But where she blushes at the end, I mean, Drew said to her, basically, you've only got two badges, two ribbons left, right? And she blushed at that, and it seemed more that Tony was saying it.
Yeah, I think it was definitely the tone.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like, oh, we'll meet again someday at the Grand Festival.
Yeah, and,
Yeah, only two more. Ribbons until we can meet each other again, blah, blah, blah.
But
I mean, it's obvious he wants to meet her at the Grand Festival. But.
And just to make this clear, because there was a lot of discussion on it, no, it had nothing to do with the girl passing out on her, because she would have been blushing a lot sooner and in a less serious, with a less serious expression if it was just, somebody fainted on me!
Mm.
It's definitely in response to what Drew said.
Yeah. No doubt there.
That's anyway. Contest. Also, also a few funny things were when the Sonansu just jumped, fell out of the building into the ground there, and all of a sudden you have the whole scene with the Ariados.
One thing I noticed about this episode is it showed me that, you know, once again, 4Kids is actually controlling, having some sort of say as to what's happening in the Japanese version, because, and there's really no way for me to say this without sounding perverted, but if you look at all the swimsuits everyone's wearing, there's no cleavage anywhere in this episode. I know that sounds really perverted thing to say, but...
No,
you know,
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm, it does.
But recently the dub has been, you know, using digital paint to get rid of cleavage, and so now, you know, the Japanese animators are doing it before, you know, 4Kids even has to.
How old were the characters in swimsuits?
I mean, they were, they looked about, you know, maybe Musashi's age, and then even Jess, you know, she had the coconut bra. You should have, you know, there was nothing there. No cleavage.
Yeah,
know,
that was actually kind of funny thing, though.
If the episode was made a year or two ago, she would have had cleavage.
We don't see characters in coconut bras very often. The only other one I can think of is Brock in Takeshi no Paradise.
I don't think that would be a 4Kids influence. I think that would be a Pokemon USA influence now.
Well,
4Kids
American
are
influence
have...
at any point.
Yeah.
In any case, American influence.
Dumb this like... down for American sensibilities.
You know, they've already seemed to have gotten rid of all the alcohol, and so this is like the next step, and pretty soon, you know, I'm sure we won't ever see Onigiri again, you know, because of that.
Yeah, we need a Japanese-centric series. Honestly, they need to have... They need to split them off like we discussed earlier and just maybe just keep one of those as only in Japan. We keep all our stuff. Screw you, America.
That makes sense.
I mean, like, if we did have a split off with Ash in one, May in the other, the May one would make total sense to keep in Japan because the contest things aren't as popular in America, and certainly anime aimed directly at young girls doesn't seem to go as well as the ones aimed at guys.
That is all. That is very true. But in closing, for this episode anyway, Haruka wins.
And yay!
Third ribbon.
Yep, third ribbon, and that's about. And Wakana just absolutely falling.
Yeah.
And we find out
we'll probably see Wakana again. Yeah, she seems probably set up to be a recurring character.
Oh, yeah. Also, Wakashama learns Megaton Kick.
Yes.
In contest battle.
That's the point. Yes.
It learns a new attack.
Which also demonstrates that Mei's becoming a much better contest battler. She was able to use that attack right after it had been learnt, and like not just use it to her advantage, but keep within the rules of the contest battles, in which was basically make it all look good.
Mm.
Right. Hate to just jump off of this, like jump off the topic like this, but have you noticed that within the last few episodes, the audio actually goes into the eye catch?
Yeah. I noticed that when I
watched. Yeah, they've been doing that a lot. They have someone say something in the eye catch instead of just playing the little music.
Yeah, they used to just have the. Sometimes the music would kind of like, you know, spill into the eye catch, but now it's like it seems like they're stopping doing that, just having random quotes.
And like, yeah.
The eye catch isn't actually covering animation.
When I listened to the Harley episode, you know, I thought you know something was wrong with my computer. I thought, you know, was it horrible noise? And I think it was like some Pokemon making a noise or something. Yeah, I just thought, what was that? And why did, you know, it just make noises now?
Why did they do that? I think I can kind of understand it from an artistic point of view, like giving them like a note to leave off on before going to commercial. But I can't say I completely understand why they're doing that.
And, I mean, it's kind of like when they first start to have the music spill into the eye catches.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have eye catch music, but sometimes, you know, they'll let the background spill.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you know, they used to do that, and they used to do it, you know, very rarely, and you know, it worked, you know, it helped, you know, make an impression, but, you know, before long, they just start to do it with just about every episode.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, now you're just getting into the habit of doing this. You're not.
So now this is a way of kind of mixing it up.
It still does make an impact, though.
This is the new trend, I guess.
Yeah, just like something I noticed a while ago. At one point they had Pikachu do a little Pika after the name of the intro, and I was like, oh, that's cute. And then they started doing it for every episode, and I was like, okay, that's less cute.
Now it's annoying.
But hey, just to consider that there are like 10 versions of Battle Frontier. Let me just put this in perspective. You have versions of Battle Frontier without the opening text. You have it with the opening text. You have it with one brain reveal, 2, 3, 4, 5 evolutions, Pokemon Sunday.
Yep.
And you have 10 versions. Too many versions. 15 versions of Glory Day now.
You have the versions with and without the mysterious dungeon scenes at the beginning, I believe, as well.
Yeah. And the Mew and the Lucario.
They're changing these animations around a lot.
Adding Dust Talks to the Team Rocket scene, because I guess they forgot that. Oh yeah, she still has that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, take...
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the episode.
162 now.
Let's move on to the next one. Yes.
We're going to move on to 162.
That would be...
The...
Jukan?
No, 161 was Jukan. 162 is the contest, my bad. Mm-hmm. 163 is next.
Okay, yeah.
That's when the Dawn of Revival one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Return of the Swarm of Beedrills.
This was a terrific episode if you'd like to see Ash get the crap beat out of him. Because he gets abused so much, and it's like, oh. So, I mean, if you hate him, watch this episode and love every second of it. Otherwise, you know, it just didn't.
It is good to actually see that the life of a Pokemon trainer isn't all just winning battles.
Sunshine and roses.
Fun. Yeah,
milk
exactly.
And cookies.
You gotta work
hard.
I also like the fact that they used...
Just imagine how bad it is camping out every day. I mean, do you think they really get to have a bath or a shower every day?
Nope.
I don't think so. Not to mention that they're traveling with basically animals constantly, and Pikachu has one... and Ash has one sleeping in his bed. I mean, they don't exactly have the best hygiene standards, so it's no wonder they love seeing Pokemon centers.
Oh, man, one thing I really like is that they did play the one that ending themes, Boku no Best Friend, which we don't hear that often. I think it's a great song, and, you know, I was glad that, you know, I thought it was used appropriately, and, I mean, I liked it.
Actually, they've been replaying a lot of the old songs as background music recently, haven't they?
Yeah, the old Kano background music. And also, they returned the instrumental version of AA, which I'm relieved.
Because and they've used openings and endings, too, with the lyrics.
Challenger.
I'm just glad it wasn't Ready to Go. I'm just glad it wasn't Ready to Go again, because...
Ready to Go has like overstated its walking, really.
Every
even
other
its background
episode. I mean, every other episode, it's, hey, let's use Ready to Go, and I'm like, no, let's not. You know, enough is enough. But, I mean, I really liked hearing Boku no Best Friend at this point.
Yeah, it's a really soothing song. What they should use again, I think, is Mina ga Itakara. I like that song. They only used it once in the entire AG. And that's AG 7 with the tree.
Yeah, I thought that was weird that like the tree got a special vocal song, but like when Weezing and Arbok left, you know, they didn't.
They're a little weird when they choose. They can choose the music to use.
You know, a dying tree gets a vocal song, but two, you know, characters who've been with the show for, you know, 5-6 years, you know, they get like instrumental.
Yeah.
They get the.
And even the instrumental, they pick and choose strangely. Like the version of Smile that was, I believe it. The which one did they have in the Kodak Sweet Honey Kodak-chan episode? Was it? It was the one with the strings and piano, right? That's not a piece that they use very often. In fact, most people are like, "Whoa, what is this?" Even though
it
I've
on,
had
the it
file.
Was on the Glory. It was on the Glory Day. Yeah, it was on the Glory Day album.
Yeah, I've known it about it for a while. I've had the file on my computer for a while, and I think it's a lot better than the normal Smile. But it just seems odd that they chose this filler to introduce this really great song to the anime. And
didn't they also use it in the Salaryman episode? I mean, I know that was later, but...
Yeah, I think they did. Mm-hmm. I believe they did.
Which I thought was really weird, too, because...
Yeah, they went too quick from very silly, high-energy gimmick contest to, oh, serious, angst, emo... The transition wasn't very good in that one.
I don't know, just lately in the past like year or two, the music has just been kind of... I don't know, it's like the music editors are losing their touch, I feel.
They're spazing out.
I've already said they overused PSM for the almost 10 episodes. And that Lovely Boy instrumental that I keyed off many, many times.
The Lovely Boy instrumental.
Yes, I don't even need to explain that for people who listen.
Do you find it more tolerable as an instrumental? Personally, I can't say I mind the original, but I think the instrumental version is in fact better.
It's tolerable. It is tolerable.
It's good.
Listenable versus, let's say, the original one.
The original one, I'd rather go deaf than hear that.
Well, see, when I was
sharp nails nailed it on my ears.
You'd rather hear Bonsly saying Christmas carols?
I'd rather hear him doing anything.
I'd rather hear Kaba-chan sing Pokemon Iru Kana.
There you go.
See, now, when I was in Japan, and Archaic can vouch for me, they played Lovely Boy everywhere you went. I would go to a convenience store, and they would play it. I mean, you think, you know, just, you know, coming across it on the internet is bad. You know, if you go to get a snack, you know, you go and get your dinner, and you hear the song. You know, they played the Lovely... Before, you know, when we sat down to watch the movie, when we sat down to watch the Deoxys movie in theaters, they played the entire Lovely Boy CD, you know, before I
sit
through the song.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean...
Why did you have to remind me of that? I've been trying to forget.
So let's discuss the last episode that we haven't discussed. The jungle one.
Oh, by the way,
Jungle Fever.
Before we go on, 163 introduced the new Frontier Brain.
Ah, yes.
Yes, it did.
The guy who looks like he could be Brock's grandpa.
The old bald dude.
Admit it, you wouldn't be surprised if it turned out to be true.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but it's been a long time since we had an old influence in the anime. I mean, the last one was one of
the. Yeah, he seems very wise, too. Kind of like in a Zen way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which probably plays into the next episode.
Yeah, and the next one was the actual battle. Now, the interesting thing about 164 was, for the first time ever, they have actually battled while actually moving battling.
Yeah.
I think it's a great
that was
concept.
Cool seeing them run around.
Great new concept.
The plot episodes, they have a way of really blurring together towards me because, yeah, there's something good about them, but in the end, they're mostly all Ash does battle, gets thing, goes on. And that's I tend to prefer like some of the not completely mind-numbing fillers to the plot episodes. But this one actually had a very fresh feel to it. It didn't seem like as plot episode-y. Yeah, it was fun. And I want that robot to be a recurring character. I would love to see...
What's his name's Battle Frontier?
Like, yeah, I know it is,
whatever,
but I want to see it come back. I want to see it just start appearing all over the place. It's cool.
Yeah, but not everyone's going to have one. This guy's, you know, like, up there, so he has this cool stuff.
So it can appear only once in a while. It needs to come back. It's just that cool. I don't want it to be forgotten in just one episode and then never seen again. It's too cool for that.
Did anybody catch the name of it?
No idea. No Hobla Japanglish.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
Did you get it, Dogasu? Or wait?
I actually haven't seen this episode, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm still out on this one.
Well, let us know if you get the name of that robot thing, because we all want to know.
Sure.
Yes, we do.
What
about the battle itself?
I liked it. And I thought it was interesting how just out of nowhere they stopped. Because.
That tripped me out. I kind of had to go, wait a minute, and go rewind.
Because everyone else, serious, they're so intense, they're so focused, and then this old man could just be like, rawr, focus, okay, let's stop and eat fruit.
that's where I brought up that Zen thing.
Yeah, I like it.
He's
I like this.
And he's going to recoup all his
energy. I like this guy a lot more now than I did just as, you know, an old guy as a Frontier Brain. He seems a lot cooler to me now.
Not understanding the Japanese words in here, not knowing what they actually said, I got the feel that he is like a monk, Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know, so he's been doing this a while. He has it down.
He's like, whatever. I can do whatever I want. I can do what I want, and it'll be right because I'm just that good.
Yes, he still loses though, thank God.
I don't think he could make himself less cool than he is.
Also, thing to note, Heracross returned.
Oh, yes, Heracross.
That was the first thing he did when he comes out to Pokeball.
He goes
after the nectar.
He went for the nectar, right off of...
That must be a great feeling. He's like, okay, I've been at Oak's lab for a while. Oh my god, it's a giant flower!
Sorry. It was great to see that again. It was very nostalgic to...
Yes, it was. Brought back a lot of memories. It also made Ash kind of blush and laugh and kind of get that...
Yeah, Ash blushed. Why did Ash... Ash must be getting a dirty mind because he's never blushed about almost anything before. And then he's like, Heracross is going after the flower.
I think that's an embarrassed blush.
Okay, so not a dirty mind, not having an influence.
God master in front of them and... Unless his hair across first thing it does when he takes it out.
Smooth.
Oh dear, I said that on air.
I'm sorry, I didn't even catch that, so you're lucky.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So that battle was pretty good. I mean, the whole...
Yeah, it was a good episode.
The battle was good. Yeah. The move.
I think everybody can give it their seal of approval.
I do. Yeah. The TSS seal of approval.
I haven't seen it, but I'll give it a seal. Sure.
Seal?
A seal of approval.
Feel. Anyway.
Yeah, right. I had to say.
We'll evolve into a dugong.
Waka waka waka.
A dugong of approval.
Yeah.
Anyway, upcoming episode. Anyone want to say a few words on it?
What's the upcoming episode? Is
the Bonsai King and Manene Queen.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. It seems to have something to do with the movie, and they're definitely going with the heartstrings.
Surprised the director from before isn't going to be turning up again.
I kind of wish that would have happened, because that would have been some neat continuity.
Yeah.
Because
this theme has been attacked before in Pokemon.
Just as some speculation, though, it seems like it doesn't seem like Bonsly and Manene get a shippy relationship, but it does seem that they form some sort of friendship, and then that's somehow threatened. They get this one thing where they're like side by side, and they're like looking up very sadly, like, oh no, about something.
Yeah, really hard to know without having more of a preview.
But I have a good feeling that this is going to be a good episode.
Yeah, same here.
I'll bet
2 cents on it.
Yeah,
my
2 cents.
What's
this ending scene of the preview with the hearts and stuff?
Mm-hmm. The ending scene of the preview with the hearts?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
There's hearts in the background.
Let me look.
Well, I guess it's a sign of effect, aren't
they? I don't know. Not with the eyes lit up the way they are.
Oh, the Manene with the big goo-goo eyes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that's about. I didn't notice that there were hearts in the background. Hang on.
Yeah, I didn't either at first until I started looking at the pictures.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, Ash and Brock do the little dancing, so the directors... Wow, you're right, there are hearts in it.
Yeah, with the googly eyes. So either the movie was really good, or there's something they're not telling us yet.
I want to see this episode. I just really want to see this episode. Seriously,
yeah.
I do.
I think you're pokey shipping.
And one particular thread on BMG actually has the preview thread for this has a little bit of perverted.
Because everybody thinks that, oh, there's a connection between Brock and James. It must be
no,
a rocket ship.
That.
No?
Not that.
What is it about?
Nothing Pikachu. I'm not going to go into detail.
Huh?
If you look at the thread, you'll see what
I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, the crazy shipping.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to...
Yeah, crazy shippers are crazy. I should know. I am one.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
But I don't know if you're that crazy.
Well, I am a crazy shipper. That's all I know.
Okay.
Now, didn't we want to get
I'm sure glad I'm not shipping.
Now, didn't we want to get into another subject before we sign off for this week?
Yeah.